Welcome, Hoops fans, to another electrifying episode of our Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast, where anticipation meets strategy and young talents prep for a leap into basketball greatness.
My name is Matt Hanifin. With the draft night just around the corner, the basketball world is buzzing with speculation and excitement. Who will be the number one pick this year? Will there be any shocking trades or unexpected decisions that surprise fans and analysts alike? It's the time when dreams become reality and future superstars are shaped.
Let's dive into the top prospects that everyone has their eyes on. These young athletes have shown incredible potential and are ready to make a big splash. Just imagine the electrifying dunks and game-changing plays they're about to bring to the court. Each team is on edge, plotting strategies, making moves, in hopes of securing the next cornerstone player who could lead them to a championship. Are you ready for the wheeling and dealing and potential blockbuster trades that can reshape the NBA landscape? And of course, we can't forget the fans, the backbone of the league. It's your passion that fuels the energy of draft night. Your cheers, predictions make this journey even more thrilling. What are your thoughts? Do you already have a favorite pick for your team? So buckle up, basketball enthusiasts, because the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast is set to be a night of surprises and opportunities. Stay tuned as we keep you updated with every leap, pass, slam dunk leading up to this monumental event. Let the countdown begin with your host, a digital Adele, and my co-host,
Matt Hanifin.
Welcome to Fadeaways on Figueroa. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Fadeaways on Figueroa. The Lakers dropped game three in Minnesota, the first game in Minnesota, to the T-Wolves, 116-104. A pretty disappointing loss for the Lakers. A game that very much should have been a winnable game, was a winnable game. We'll get into that a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Lakers were tied 103-103 with the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes and some change to go. Lakers were down 103-101. Luka hit a nice little short corner floater to tie the game up 103-103. And then from that point on, the Lakers end up losing 116-104. So they give up a 13-1 run to end the game, which just, you know, it just can't happen. I mean, some things in this game that are notable. It was reported that Luka was dealing with a stomach bug, whether that's food poisoning or just like a sickness, like a stomach flu type thing. Luka was dealing with something like that, which he only had 17 points. He was 2-for-8 from three, which I believe is what he was last game too. But only 17 points from Luka, which is really tough from a offensive standpoint, and just really bad offense down the stretch in general. In defensively, I mean, Anthony Edwards came out and played really well. He's, you know, when he's hitting shots, it's hard to guard him. But the Lakers' physicality in this series has been really interesting and really tough. Like, looking back at it, like, this matchup for the Lakers is one of the tougher matchups we could have gotten, just with the physicality that Minnesota plays with, between Gobert being a big rim defender, McDaniels, like the Anthony Edwards himself is pretty physical. They're a pretty physical team. And so the Lakers, I talked about this in the last episode, they're a physical team as well. LeBron, Luka, Rui, Austin Reeves, these guys are going to go down and bang down in the paint, and they're going to try and draw fouls, and they're a physical team. But this is a really physical series, and the Lakers don't have the depth that Minnesota has, at least it hasn't been shown, because, you know, bench points again yesterday were just awful. I mean, 8 points from Finney Smith, 3 points from Vanderbilt, 5 from Gabe Vincent, 3 from Goodwin. That's all we're getting off the bench, right? LeBron came out, he had a masterclass game. 38 points in 41 minutes, 13-21, 5-for-9 from 3, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. And, like, that's awesome. LeBron had an awesome game, but if you're going to blow if you have a tie game with 4 minutes left in the game and you can't generate any offense, you give up a 13-1 run and lose the game by 12 points when you're very much in the game. I mean, LeBron was keeping them in the game single-handedly. So, like, I'm not totally complaining about LeBron in this case. Like, he played well. I mean, down the stretch, he had a forced three that barely hit the backboard or airballed. The Lakers were just desperate trying to find some offense. And, you know, I haven't like gone back and looked at the tape, whether what the situation was here where the Lakers, but overall, I mean, the Lakers were just panicking, right? They scored zero field goals in the last 4 minutes of the game. And it felt like every time down the floor that they were not converting or hitting a basket, they started panicking even more. So just a tough overall game for the Lakers. Hats off to Minnesota. They played a really good game. You know, the turnovers were the big key, really looking at the stats and watching the game too. I'm not just box score analyzing this game, but Lakers had 16 turnovers to 8 turnovers by the Timberwolves, and you know, on top of that, you had 16 turnovers by the Lakers. Lakers got a total of 78 shots in the whole game. They shot 47%, pretty good, not bad. But the Wolves got 91 shots. They got 13 more shots than the Lakers and shot 48%. They basically shot the same, but the Nuggets. I'm so used to Lakers playing the Nuggets in the playoffs. The Wolves got 13 more shots. They hit 44. They went 44 for 91. Lakers went 37 for 78. From three, the Lakers actually shot really well. They shot 42% from three, 17 for 40. Like, this was a good game for the Lakers, minus the two things, Timberwolves, turnovers and free throws. The Lakers were, let's see, what were they from the free throw line? They were 13 for 20 from the free throw line, 65%. That's a 7-point difference right there. I mean, the Lakers went 100% from the line in game two, and that was almost in a way a difference maker in that game, which ended up being kind of close. Lakers won that game by 9 in game two, and they went 100% from the free throw line. The Timberwolves went 15 for 21 from the free throw line, so they hit two more free throws. They had one more attempt, so a free throw disparity situation really can't be argued there. But at the end of the day, The big factors here are Luka being sick, only scoring 17 points. The Lakers, this is a really top-heavy Lakers team, and that's kind of how it's been. But, like, you have LeBron and Luka, and then you have Austin Reeves, and there's a big drop-off from there. You need Rui to put up 20 points. You need Reeves to put up 20 points. You need Dorian Finney-Smith to put up, like, 15 points. Like, we just need more offensive production, and we're not getting it. And especially when Luka isn't able to convert and score more points, it really makes it hard from an offensive standpoint. And then, you know, defensively, the Lakers are playing decent defense. The T-Wolves hit some good shots. Lakers are up at halftime by, what was it, like four or six points at halftime. So like, overall, like, the Lakers, this was a good game by the Lakers for the most part, minus turnovers, minus free throws. And then down the stretch offensively, you switch those things up and the Lakers have a really good chance of winning this game, or they do win the game. So overall, just pretty disappointing. Again, you can't be so super mad about Luka being sick. That just kind of is a sucky situation. Let's see. Yeah, bad offense. Rui really struggled. Only eight points on 3 of 7 shooting. And you really kind of have to ask yourselves as a Laker fan now, did the Lakers blow the series with this game? I mean, I know they have a chance on Sunday to come out and get a win and tie the series back up 2-2 and then go back for game 5 in LA, hopefully go up 3-2. But at this point, it's a game tomorrow. It's a Sunday game at 12:30, so we have an afternoon game. One team's going to – I mean, this is just how afternoon games are. One team's going to come out sluggish, and it can't be the Lakers, because if the Lakers go down 3-1 – yes, you go back for game 5. If you get a win there, you're down 3-2 still, but then it goes back to Minnesota for game 6. So going down 3-1 is a death sentence for the Lakers at this point. So Sunday is a very, very much a must win. So did the Lakers blow the series with this game? It's possible. It's hard. I mean, if anything, I would say they blew the series by losing game 1. You lose game 1, you lose home court advantage, and now the Lakers are on their heels, and they have to get a win in Minnesota on Sunday at 12:30. And that's, the odds are kind of stacked against you there. I mean, the Lakers did play well against OKC in the regular season. in a Sunday afternoon game. I think it was a Sunday afternoon, or it was an afternoon game. So, I mean, maybe they'll come out and play well, but yeah. So, I mean, up at halftime, tied at 103 with 4 minutes left, and with LeBron and Luka, I mean, if Luka was feeling well, maybe, but, like, I would, in most time, 9 times out of 10, I would give that game to the Lakers, but sucks also to waste such a good LeBron game, you know, 38 points, five made threes, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. And, you know, and so here's the thing, my last thought here, and this is going to be a quick episode. I just want to get some thoughts out before game four, but in some ways, like, if I'm giving myself an optimistic mindset here, do I think this Lakers team should be a first round exit team in the playoffs? Absolutely not. But considering the context of the season, right? You trade away Anthony Davis, you bring in Luka, huge trade, awesome to get Luka. Obviously sad to lose Anthony Davis, but, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to take Luka, right? Most Lakers fans are happy about it and should be happy about it. But it really made the team imbalanced. You know, your best and only big man is Jackson Hayes, who still has been unplayable. I think he played 9 minutes again in game three. And it's just tough, right? Like, the roster is not deep enough. It's imbalanced from a size standpoint. And getting a tough matchup like the Timberwolves, who are physical and long and tall, it's tough. So I'm not giving excuses. Again, the Lakers should have and could have won game three. They could be up 2-1 right now, and we wouldn't even be, like, having this conversation about them blowing the series. But all that to say is, like, anything the Lakers win at this point is they're kind of playing with house money a little bit, right? Like, their expectations after the trade with Luka and the imbalanced roster, was it really realistic to expect them to be championship contenders this season? Probably not. I mean, whenever you have Luka and LeBron on the floor and seeing how they played in the regular season, it's always a possibility. And I'm still not going to, like, give up hope on that being a possibility. But at the end of the day, is it super realistic with the way the roster is constructed, the lack of depth, and not only the lack of depth, but the lack of production that we've been getting from the bench? Super inconsistent and just not enough. And even the starters too, like Rui starting, only putting up 8 points, Jackson Hayes starting and being only playable for 9 minutes. Austin Reeves, he had a slow start to the series so far. So, like, it's a little bit of a weird year in that sense. So if I'm trying to think optimistically, it's like, well, we're playing with house money here. Any series wins would be awesome. And I do expect them. So in that sense, it's still disappointing. So I'm conflicted. But at the end of the day, like, you get Luka in with this season, with the roster how it is, you can't really expect too much of the team. I mean, that's just my opinion. And then you press towards the offseason and next year and making the roster a championship contending roster, a legit championship. Because, like, this is a championship contending roster, in my opinion. But I don't know how legit it is, right? Like, they're probably on the fringe, top four, top five team in the playoffs, or at least could be when they're playing at their best. But, you know, you have the chance to build a legitimate championship contending roster in the offseason with Luka and all, you know, the team, the guys who you have, plus whoever else, you know, get in a real big and all that stuff. So what do we think is going to happen next game? I mean, it's a must win for the Lakers. Hopefully Luka's feeling better. You know, that's kind of up in the air. If it's like a food poisoning thing, hopefully it was just a 24-hour, like, bug type thing. But I think everyone, Luka, LeBron, everyone understands that this is a must-win game. You can't go down 3-1 with chances, with a realistic, you know, mindset of winning the series. So it's a must-win game for the Lakers. I know that they know that, and they're going to go out and do their best. But a Sunday, 12:30, it's tough. I mean, in a series, I guess, like, they've been out in Minnesota for a few days now. So in that sense, like, hopefully they've adjusted to, like, the time change and the travel and all that stuff. So maybe that early start on Sunday isn't going to be too much of a factor, but it always seems to be. I mean, they played, let's see, 2 seasons ago when they played Memphis in the first round, game one was like an afternoon start at 12:30, 1:30, something like that. And they came out and played really, really well. So maybe, you know, Austin Reaves, Rui, those kinds of guys, like, maybe this is one of those games where you get a good Rui game, If Luka's feeling better, obviously you're hoping for 25 plus points from him, 25 plus points from LeBron. Offensively, it's surprising with this team. Offensively has been where the struggles have been. Defensively, they've been, I mean, they struggle like to get often, like they give up offensive rebounds and I mean, to have McDaniels putting up 30 points on you is a little rough. That's what happened in game three. So, I mean, offensively, you can't afford to get beat on the perimeter as much when you don't have the rim protection, which I think was happening a lot in game three. But they're in the game. 4 minutes left, 103-103, and it boils down to the lack of offense on the Lakers. And it's just surprising when you have LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves, who have been really good offensively all season. So, or at least when they've been playing all season. So game four is a must win. It boils down to, you got to play with defensive intensity. You have to do the small things right. You can't turn the ball over. You have to make your free throws. It's an important game, a must-win game. So I appreciate you guys for listening to this quick episode, and we'll get them at game four, hopefully. Go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fadeaways on Figueroa. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review and share on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or most places you get your podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!